The Old Testament lesson can be found on Judges chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, and it's about Deborah. After Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim, because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Ladiphah, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her to have their dispute decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinadab, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariot and his troops to Kishon River, and give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you. But because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours. But the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Dagesh. And now we're going to read from Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Personal greeting. "I commend to you your sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Thanks be to God."
Thank you. Let's pray together. So, Father, thank you for your word of truth and life. And as we pray that we come to reflect upon it a bit more now, that you would grant us the help of your spirit in our listening and in our understanding. And Lord, grant us that same spirit to respond appropriately through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you know your history of the suffragette movement, the name Emmeline Pankhurst will be familiar to you. In the Victorian era, of course, women weren't allowed to vote in the UK, and Emmeline Pankhurst was instrumental in getting things changed. For several decades, people lobbied to get the law changed, and after some violent episodes, the law was eventually changed so that the Representation of the People Act of 1918 allowed women over 30 to vote, and the Representation of the People Act of 1928 allowed women and men over 21 to vote. It took decades of hard work and protest to get to that point. But I wonder, has society changed all that much over the last century? In the UK, men hold an overwhelming majority of the most senior positions of power throughout government, private companies, the media, judiciary, law enforcement, and the military. As of March 2016, men represented 100% of generals, major generals, and brigadiers, 94% of CEOs in Britain's 100 biggest companies, 95% of chief editors of national newspapers, 92% of Supreme Court judges, 86% of police chief constables, 79% of university vice chancellors, and 71% of MPs. Of course, the main news item at the moment is on violence towards women and an appropriate response to that. As last Monday was International Women's Day and today is Mothering Sunday, therefore I thought it was appropriate to honour the role women have played in leadership within society and within the church. So to help us do that, I want us to look at this woman in the Bible, Deborah. And Deborah brought great leadership to the people of Israel. So let's put some context in this. At that time, there was no king in Israel, and there were judges. Now, these were individuals who brought leadership, wisdom, and discernment to the people. And the book of Judges spans a period of over 325 years with 12 judges, only one of whom was a woman. That's Deborah, who we're looking at. Now, the role of judges and rulers in the Old Testament was that of leader of the Hebrew people. Now, without question, Deborah was a woman of influence, and which I'm sure opened up the way for other women to flourish into their own call and destiny. She was chosen by God to be a judge, to rescue the people from their enemies and to establish justice. At that time, judges made very clear that the hallmark of everything depended upon faithful obedience to the Lord. That was the gateway to govern God's justice and God's mercy. As a side point, it's interesting that the name Deborah means bee, because she was busy as a bee, being a wife, a judge, a prophetess, and a leader. She seemed quite focused on her appointed tasks. She didn't waver in what she had and needed to do. Verse 5 is interesting. It says that she would sit under the palm of Deborah. Holding court under the palm tree has a special meaning in Scripture. The palm tree represents peace, plenty, fruitfulness, grace, elegance, and majesty. It's a place of safety, protection, shelter, victory, and beauty. And it appears that Deborah brought all of these things for all the people. We're told that Deborah was a prophetess, one instructed in divine knowledge by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And that speaks first and foremost of the intimacy and closeness of her relationship with Almighty God. And that gives way to her own identity and personality, which then reveals her security and confidence. So let's look at Deborah's story. It's recorded in Judges 4 and 5. We didn't read the whole of Judges 4 and 5, but I thought it would take us up to verse 9. And thanks to Irene, she got the short straw because lots of big words in that and tough words. And time doesn't permit to go into the depth of detail here. But just as a very general idea, at that time, the Israelites had been under Canaanite oppression for about 20 years, and they cry out to God for help. We read that in verse 3. Then Deborah, we're told, was the judge at the time in verse 4. And for her to be judge in a male-dominated society says something really, really incredible about her gifts, especially that of wisdom. So in order to escape from the Canaanites, the Israelites had to go into battle with them. So she called a man called Barak to lead the people into battle, saying that the Lord would give them the victory, verse 7. But Barak would only go into battle as long as Deborah went with him, verse 8. Now, we don't know anything about Barak's character. We don't know if he lacked courage or just needed support. We don't know anything other than he asked for help. But we do know something about Deborah's character. She agrees to go, providing Barak goes with her, verse 9. Now, she says this not because she needs support, but because we see her leadership gifts in encouraging Barak in his role. And that's what good leadership does. It encourages people in their roles and responsibilities. Now, the story concludes with Israel defeating the Canaanite army, as Deborah had said, for the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman, verse 9. And then the end of chapter 5 states that there was peace in the land for 40 years. Now, whilst I don't think that this is a story about gender roles, nevertheless, it does remind us that God will use whomever he pleases, regardless of gender. And sadly, gender equality is still a live issue today, so much so that I felt that it was necessary to address it. For those of you of a certain age, I was only a child when this happened, but do you remember a tennis match between Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King? It happened in 1973, and there was a film based on that story a few years ago entitled The Battle of the Sexes. Now, I haven't seen the film, so I can't vouch for it. I just simply know that the film was made on the back of telling this true story. But back in 1973, at that time, Bobby Riggs had won Wimbledon once and the US Open three times. He was now 55, but he arrogantly thought that he could beat the then 29-year-old Billie Jean King. And in front of a worldwide viewing audience of about 50 million people, take that in, 50 million people, Billie Jean King won in three straight sets. Now, the point was that in taking part in this exhibition match, that Billie Jean King was wanting to show that women's tennis was just as good and just as entertaining as the men's game. But almost half a century has passed since that exhibition match, and attitudes haven't seemed to have changed that much, or certainly enough. Women still get paid less than men in most walks of life, and their leadership gifts aren't often as recognised as much as those in men. It's been said that a woman has to do a job twice as well as a man just to get half the recognition. Gender inequality is still alive and well in our society, and sadly also within the church. In some quarters, there remains a belief that a woman should not be a preacher or an ordained minister. Approximately a quarter of our ordained ministers in Irish Methodism are women, and over time, that figure has been rising. But for many in our congregations, we know that remains a problem for some. Now, they base their argument that only men should be ordained because they point to the fact that Jesus had 12 disciples, all of whom were men. However, that doesn't take into account the context of that society, nor that it was the women who were the faithful followers of Jesus who remained at the foot of the cross when the men fled out of fear. And of course, it was Mary Magdalene whom Jesus appeared to first in his resurrected body. And then she was commissioned by Jesus to go and tell the rest of the disciples what had happened. There's other things to be said about the worship of the Roman god Diana and the church's response to that at that time, but time doesn't permit me to go into it at this point. We've looked a bit about this in Bible studies in recent times, or in the last year or two. And then in Romans 16, verse 1, we read about Phoebe. Now, Phoebe's an interesting character. She was tasked by Paul to take his letter to the house churches around Rome. And she would have been the one to read this letter to them. So as in Old Testament days with Deborah, so it was in the early church. Women exercised leadership roles. Now, some people might want to quote the likes of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, and 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, when Paul says that women should be quiet in worship, interpreting that to mean that women shouldn't be preachers. But again, this doesn't take into the account of the context of the day. And the best explanation of these texts that I've come across is from Kenneth Bailey, who spent 40 years living and teaching in the Middle East. His conclusion was that in those days, women were uneducated and would have been chittering away at the back of the gathered assembly, trying to understand what was being said. And Paul was simply encouraging them to remain quiet during the meeting, and then afterwards, later on at home, to then ask their husbands, who would have known more about the subject. So I'm firmly in the camp of believing that God has given appropriate spiritual gifts to women in the life of the church, and that those gifts should be exercised within the life of the church. But you know as well as I do that this is still a contentious issue within the worldwide body of Christ. I believe that in the church, we must value every single person, regardless of gender. For every person brings with them their own gifts and personalities and characteristics. So this is a message to women, to encourage you in the gifts that God has given to you. And this is a message to men to ensure that women are encouraged to exercise their God-given gifts within the life of the church. Now, no doubt this will encourage some discussion and debate, and I'm always more than happy to humbly listen to those who hold a different point of view to that of my own. But whatever your own personal views on women in ministry and women in church leadership, one thing we can all agree on is to recognize the role that women have played in our lives. Maybe for you, it's been a godly mother, or godly grandmother, or godly sister, or work colleague, or someone who has had a wonderful influence on your life and faith. And today is a good reminder to give thanks to God for them. Deborah's busy and fruitful life as a prophetess, judge, and military leader made her a woman of great influence. And I leave you with that lovely image of Deborah under the palm tree as she holds court, ruling in an atmosphere of safety, victory, and grace. And through it all, she walked closely with the Lord, giving him the glory for the wisdom, victories, and prudent judgments. Judges chapter 5, verse 7 says, Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. We are grateful to God for all those who are and or who have been mothers in faith. Those who have guided us in an atmosphere of safety and grace, whether that be within the life of the church or within our own families. Amen.